We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the Esports Biz Show. I'm your host, Justin Jacobson. This week we'll be discussing esports teams. Just a disclaimer, nothing here is intended as legal advice. It's all personal purposes only. This week's guest is Jordan, or Laz. He's the CEO and founder of esports and entertainment organization Zen. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So to start, tell us about your past esports and gaming experience. What was the first game you played and how did you transition into the business side?
Oh, so first game goes way back. I guess the first game that really got me into the gaming space was MW2 and like Black Ops 2, Black Ops 1, those older days. Then after that, kind of quit the gaming on Xbox as much, and I was playing like on my like iPad, very like light casual, like not gaming anymore a little bit during high school, like Clash of Clans for a bit. That got really addicting. Came back, was playing like a lot of the like sports, like Madden, NBA, NHL, you know, with a bunch of my guy friends and stuff. And then Fortnite came out, returned me, got me back on it, started playing a lot, and then, you know, Zen started from there. And we've branched out, but I took a break from the COD days, you know, like the Clash was like on my phone, like very casual. Like that was the only thing I was really playing. Like I was not gaming at all. I was like focused on sports and stuff in high school. But it's kind of funny. I started a team when I was 13 years old and I had a little team going on in the COD days on YouTube and everything. It was a clan and took a break. Flash forward 5 years, I restarted a team and, you know, now I'm doing this full time.
Yeah, so let's kind of talk about that, you know, kind of why'd you create the team and, you know, what's your day-to-day like?
So team, I was obviously passionate of starting a team. Did it when I was 13, redid it when I was 19. I basically was playing Fortnite. I started a Fortnite page. I was reposting people's, like, clips that, like, they would have to send it in. It was, like, Fortnite clips, it was called. People would send it in, our DMs were flooded, and I was like, there has to be like ways to monetize now that we have a following and stuff. So we did like some ads and different ways, but I was like, yo, we should start a group and a team, and like I feel like it could do better. Started shifting focus, started a new page with a team. That was after my Fortnite.clips page had like 40,000 followers on it. It was gaining momentum. This was like peak Fortnite, like a couple months in. Start the team, it blows up the first day, like 10,000 in followers in the first week on Instagram. Gained momentum. Our Insta blew up. We're gaining like 20, 30, 50,000 views a video on Instagram. This is before Reels. This is like regular posting. And had a lot of momentum. And then it just leveraged all other socials. And it was able to monetize. We started helping creators make money. We started making money. Brands started seeing ROIs. So I basically shifted the focus from that page to something I was more passionate about, but also something I saw a bigger future and like something that I could monetize and scale more than like Fortnite clips, the page was going to scale.
So when did you kind of like realize that you're kind of onto something and you were kind of going to do this full time and, you know, make this your career?
So I was doing it while I was in school. I graduated, I studied finance and investments. I graduated cum laude. So did damn well. And, you know, this was in Manhattan, New York City. I was studying finance and investments because I wanted to work on Wall Street. That was the goal. Right. And I was passionate about it. I was showing up every day. While I was working, it was like 8 hours of, say, schoolwork a day. And then like I had like 6-ish hours of Zen. And then I had a 2-hour commute every day. And then I would sleep. It was long days. I was tired. But there was enough going on where I had momentum. We had a total combined following of about 3 million followers during the time when I graduated. And I was like, Mom, Dad, my degree is not going anywhere. I still have it. Taking the year off, if it doesn't work, I could use my degree to, you know, work wherever. We'll apply. But for this 1 year, I'm going to focus on my brand Zen and see what I could do. And that became the best decision of my life. We grew from 3 million followers to 10 million and then 10 million on January 1st to 30 million today. So 20 million followers last year. Our exponential growth has really scaled and it's been a journey. But taking that year off is what gave me that time I needed, for sure.
So you kind of felt like, you know, you kind of had a bet on yourself a little bit, right? Feeling like, let me see if I can do this.
Yeah, I felt like I had nothing to lose either. Like the worst that comes out of it is I lose a year of my life taking a risk that I'll take 10 times over. I was betting on myself. Like I got my degree. I kept working for that because that's where I thought I was going to use my whole life. So I locked in, focused on that. But the last 2 years of college while at Zen Running, my goal was obviously to make this my full-time job. Not, you know, but I still stayed in school. I still focused. I still studied. I still did it all.
Amazing. I think that's really important. And, you know, for everyone out there, it's, you know, have the credentials, have the backup plan, you know, go for your dreams, but, you know, realistic, right? You knew that if you spent a year on this and it wasn't going to work, it wasn't like you had no other options, right? You could go down and get one of the jobs in finance and work your 7 to 12 shift every day and, you know, grind it out.
Yeah. So like the biggest thing is, I think for me is like a lot of people also talk like, yo, like I have creators on my team who like make crazy money. They do well, especially for their age. And like a lot of them, like, hey, the number one thing is finish high school. Like in my eyes, like finish high school, get that. If you're locked in, you're so close, like just finish it. Then from there, you could do what I did between high school and college. Like I have a guy on my team who's just say he's making, you know, 5-6 figures right now and he sees it scaling and he wants to keep going with it. You know, you could always take that gap year or gap semester. So like you could always do that, the bet on yourself. But I think like not finishing, say, in year 3 or 4 of high school and not getting that degree because, you know, it's only a few more months push through. So exactly. I'm a big believer in that.
Balance that is a skill, right? Being able to understand that, yeah, you have to game, you have to do school, and if you can do both, you could do really well.
Yeah, it shows you. And then when you have more time, it just becomes so much easier. Like I was balancing school, commute, Zen, you know, and I was doing everything I did for Zen at that time. I was running the socials, the posts, I was doing all recruitments, I was doing all content production. I mean, I was wearing like 30 different hats at the time. Now I don't wear those hats, and you know, we do a lot better because I have people that focus on it. But balancing is important key of life, I feel like. So
100%. So uniquely, your organization is not really a competitive one. You really have more, you know, content creators and streamers. Why'd you kind of take that approach?
Okay. So we were in both. We ranked 5th in North America, Fortnite in 22 on like Fortnite Gamepedia. We ranked, you know, we qualified for ALGS. That's a $1 million tournament in Stockholm, Sweden. Only 40 teams qualify for. We're one of them. We qualified for Gamers 8 Saudi Arabia. Only 30 people qualified for that $2 million event.
So you do have a competitive aspect.
So we've done a lot of competitive, but our bread and butter is our content. That's where we reach hundreds of millions of views every month. That's where we work with some of the biggest brands in the space every month. And that's kind of the approach. We're able to help brands hit a positive ROI, hit their goals, their achievements. We're able to help creators make more money than they've ever seen, and we're able to grow. And if they're both winning, we're winning. And we figured out a formula that's been successful for, you know, everyone around us. And we've been locked in on it for the last, you know, year or two.
So what benefits does the organization see from kind of having the dedicated streamers and creators? Do you kind of, is it like a different aspect than maybe the competitive players?
I mean, at the end of the day, both sides like can work with big brands, you could say. But I think big brands are seeing positive ROIs. You know, like you can't, like something to think about is you can't force a competitive player. I read something about this yesterday on Twitter, actually. You can't force a competitive player to do something like out of his comfort zone. So if he's good at playing the game and being good, like your content should be around being good at the game and stuff. And if you start trying to add a personality there and have him start saying stuff and doing things and he doesn't want to talk or he doesn't want to do that stuff, it kind of just makes this awkward like mesh. And I think with creators, they're all creating content, their faces behind the screen, they're doing these hooks, these intros that they're so used to it that they like content. So we're able to have that content approach. Where a competitive team would be more in like how to get good at the game, I guess, different focuses, where ours, like, you know, someone that doesn't enjoy gaming might love our gaming content because of the creator storytelling and how good they make a video. So it's a different,
it's like a funny story. It's not necessarily a cool headshot or something.
Yeah, exactly. And like he might, the thing with our creators is they're so good at the game, but they're also so good at telling stories and making content that it makes them so special. Like, very rare do I have a player on my team that's awful but just makes great content. It's very rare. Like, I've had creators that, you know, that just make such good content and aren't that good. But I think what makes all these guys special, a lot of them have the common thing of being really good at the game and then also making good content. So they have the mix.
Right, that's the skill, is being able to entertain while also performing high and be able to make this connection with the audience.
Exactly. So,
how do you guys decide what titles and games you work in?
Fortnite's been our focus since we started, so that's a no-brainer. That's like, you know, that's told the story for Zen. Apex, we had a really good opportunity to bring up this comp team, help with them. They helped us, obviously. We were like, let's do it. We kind of like bet on them, you could say, or whatever, because they're in ALGS and they weren't guaranteed to qualify. I think only one team from Brazil qualifies, if I remember correctly, and that's one team in the whole region, or maybe it was two. This is like a year or two ago, so don't quote me on it, but it was very small. And like, we saw the vision, we saw their placements, their stats, we knew what they needed, they knew what we wanted, obviously them the place. So we kind of, you know, worked with them and ended up qualifying, so that was great. Then once after ALGS, after we parted ways and everything, like a few, you know, months went by, time went by, we haven't returned to Apex since. It's not something we're against. I'm open to joining Apex. Fortnite's, like I said, we've been in it forever. It's their bread and butter. We not going anywhere. But Call of Duty was another game that like always been like Fortnite's, I guess, competition. It's like one of the other biggest games. And we focus, by the way, let me answer the first question. The biggest games, where's the market? Where are companies? Where do they want to work? Where are viewers watching? Where is everyone's heads at and minds at? We don't want a game with nobody plays or watches, because what does it do? All right. So Call of Duty, we got involved, and one of our Fortnite guys had a friend with a COD guy, recommended him. He basically came over, and then he started recommending more guys. And then from there, we just started doing what we do in Fortnite and COD, putting it through our talent scouts, our reports, our sheets. Realized that COD is, you know, great, older audience for sure. So Fortnite and COD have been our big two games, our focus. But, you know, we're open to other games. Like, I have a talent in Rocket League. We've had talent in Valorant. We just focus on what's hot.
Amazing. So I noticed that you guys have some streamers that are more game specific and ones that are kind of more like variety. Is there, you know, find any advantage over one or the other? And what do you kind of advise aspiring creators? Do they focus on one title? Should they be more variety? What's your advice?
So there's two routes on this. If you do variety, do it. Kudos to you. It's very, very hard to be a creator that could play anything they want and people will show up. That's hard. So if you could pull that off, do it. Usually it's more people that can do that, or they have fans or supporters that get behind them so much on their personality that they don't care what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So like one of our creators, I'll just give you two examples. Like one of our creators, Noah, he's a part of like a group that's really big on YouTube, and people just love him. They really support him. They had shows around the US. They were like sold out tickets. People will watch him play whatever because they just love Noah for who he is, right? They don't care if it's Fall Guys, Fortnite, COD, whatever, they're going to show up. And I have creators in other games that could do that too. Like one of my guys, Silent, he made a TikTok on his dog on a Fortnite page, and people say you can't do that. He's done now 2-3 of them and now made a dog page because it's done so well. Every video got like 200,000-300,000 views, and I'll tell you, it's because of his storytelling. I love his videos. Like, you could just listen to a story and be like, wow, like, just about the most random thing, every day he's dropping a story. So like, it's just the way he tells it, and it doesn't even matter if you're showing me the dog or the Fortnite gameplay, I'm entertained. So being able to tell a story and share is what makes it, and it's once you build that fan base, it's easier to switch it over. So Noah had the fan base, he could switch it over. Silent has that fan base on Fortnite, he's able now to show and switch it over. To start, it's one of the hardest things to do, because to get someone to buy in on you, they have to like everything about you. If they're like, oh, I like his personality but I don't like his game, I don't want to watch this, skip, they haven't bought in on you yet. You have to get them to buy in on you, support you, and now watch you wherever you go. So starting at variety might be one of the hardest things to do. Find something to focus on and kind of lock in there, and then shift would be my approach, but I'm not saying it's not impossible. You could do anything, honestly.
I mean, I think that's a really great, you know, point and advice that you give, where it's like, yeah, you have to kind of build this fan and these people that resonate with you. And if you're playing a game that might, you know, be obscure or might not be something that really applies to the masses, you might not get that opportunity to even present yourself, right? It's like if you're playing Fortnite or Call of Duty or Valorant, what everyone's watching, or Warzone, people may, oh, well, who is this guy? He looks cool. What's this girl? She has a really cool outfit on, whatever it is. And then they watch you because you might be playing a game that they're interested in. But if you're, you know, I love Marvel Snap, but you might not be looking to watch Marvel Snap content because it's, you know, not the most engaging if you don't know what's going on. So it might be hard for someone to start with that game.
And I hear sometimes even at our level, some of our massive creators, like, will be like, they know, I'm going to give three multiple examples. Like, if I have to play a different game than my everyday game, say it's a sponsored stream, they know it's going to have less viewers a bit because people don't want to watch this game. They want to watch my daily Fortnite. Or, like, I have a creator who wants to play Valorant. She knows she's going to take the drop on viewers, but she's like, I just want to play Valorant on stream. That's my vibe right now. Like, that's what I want. I'm going to do it. And she'll take the loss. But, like, don't be shocked when you see it. Like, people know, like, it's think about you as a human, and do you want to watch something you don't care about? You have to really love that person to watch something I don't care about.
And then I think that's obviously very hard. So how do you kind of determine what talent you guys target and work?
Thresholds, kind of like where's what we're doing, what brands we're working with. We want to make sure it makes sense for the talent, makes sense for us. So if we're working with, like, you know, we've only scaled, so our deals have been way bigger. The talent we work with are way bigger, but it's just we want to make sure it's worth their time, worth the brand's time, worth everyone's time at the end of the day. So just that's the number one thing is. And then number two is quality, obviously, the content, the level, the production. You know, number three is, are they brand safe, creator safe, friendly? And then, like, there's no order, by the way, of, like, what's more important. These are all just, like, things that go involved. So, like, you know, A, and then four, which kind of goes hand in hand with all three of these, but you kind of, like, four is, like, you give it its own section, is potential. So, like, it goes based on one, two, and three. Four, you know, is the potential you see with them. Are they going to plateau? Are they going to keep growing? Do you see room to scale? Why do you think they're going to scale? Are they doing things different? Are they posting on multiple platforms? Are they doing one platform that's been the same viewership for maybe 3 years now? You know, there's data. We love data on our side. We love data. We have data on everything. So those are all things that are important.
Platforms. What are there any platforms that you guys prefer? Do you kind of think that they're ones that people should focus on more, or, you know,
yeah. And I love these questions, all of them, because, like, I feel like this is literally, like, what I do. So, like, shout out to you. These are so, like, spot on. But, yeah, so what platforms? I think if you're not on a short-form platform, you're automatically behind the curveball. You have to be on short-form platforms. Like, they're just it's unreal. The money, like, and I'm going to actually have a – I'm going to explain a conversation out of creator. Okay. Last month, I had a conversation with a creator. He came, he was in New York City. We went out for lunch and I sat down and he wants to join Zen. And I was like, hey, we want you. I think you're a great guy, like, blah, 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 blah. But, like, I think there's things you got to work on. And I basically told him things to improve. And I told him, like, I could see you're posting every single day. You're forcing posts out. Like, you have to, some days you don't have to post. You could skip a day. It's not going to change anything. And he's like, every day I post is more views, though, if you think about it. And I was like, no, because if you just skip, say, day two, three, and four, where there's fillers, and you just work really hard to make a good video, it could do more views. And, like, he slowed down his content. And instead of him having 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 views a video, he's now doing 300, 400, 500,000 consistent on every single video. So I think slowing down and quality over quantity is a really important aspect. I think being on short form, if you're posting on TikTok, post it on YouTube Shorts, post it on Instagram Reels, get it out there. You already have the content done. I think it taking advantage, if you want to monetize, changing the length of videos is so important. It only takes an extra 10 minutes or so. So on TikTok, you need it to be over 60 seconds to get paid nicely. On YouTube Shorts, it needs to be under 60 seconds. So you have to edit two versions, one that's 61 seconds and one 59 seconds, and you post both. And now you get paid for both, and now you're making double the income. So I think That's important. I think live streaming, if you're a live streamer, you should be doing live streaming on all of these, like YouTube Shorts, TikTok Live. They reach hundreds of thousands. It just has a bigger reach, and then you could convert them over. And then lifelong fans is also like, people also have a thought process where you can't make money on like Twitch. I mean, on TikTok Live. But streamers make more money on TikTok Live than they make on Twitch, certain streamers. So there is good money on these platforms. People do get paid. I think you just got to put yourself out there. You got to show up and you got to make quality content that you would watch. If you watch your video, you have to think like, if I was a new person, do I understand this? Do I feel welcome? Do I like the video? You can't just walk in and be like, or be biased and be like, my videos are bangers, because they might not be.
So definitely TikTok and the short form platform is key. Do you find
big time.
Also building up, you know, the more general YouTubes and Instagrams, or
yeah, say that again. Sorry.
Do you, obviously, you know, mentioning TikTok and some of these short form platforms, do you see benefits in building up, you know, TikTok, I mean, YouTube and Instagram, these maybe more long form platforms?
Yeah. So I think YouTube long form is the hardest thing to accomplish, but if you get it down, it's good to get it down. It's the easiest way to grow a real community, get paid nicely, close these sponsorships, have solid ROI, get that fandom effect from creators. I think YouTube long form creators are like, you know, the most powerful creators in the space. Mm-hmm. But I think it is the hardest thing to do. And understanding your analytics is so important. People don't understand, like, they show you your watch time or how many people watch the first 30 seconds and those analytics for a reason. So understanding, improving, and fixing. And we're a work in progress on that. But like, we've seen results change massively. Linking videos. We have our first linked video coming out next week. We trialed it last week and our video did like just, it did about 5 figures. It's all right. This is long form, but like, I think there's ways to test, trial, and learn on that platform. And I think it's important. But I think there's so many ways to monetize on all these socials.
Definitely. But, so it definitely sounds like you want to kind of be everywhere, try to engage with fans everywhere and have an imprint everywhere.
Yeah. Something we see is we don't a lot, like, I feel like YouTube long form creators focus on that, or streamers focus on short form and streaming. That's a pattern I see literally everywhere on my roster across the board, like in the games. Streamers like to do short form and TikTok because those videos blow up. They go live on the TikTok social. So now they have like 1,000 viewers on TikTok Live, and then they're converting some over on Twitch. They may have 200-300 on Twitch. So the TikTok posting, the TikTok streaming, and then the Twitch or Kick or whatever streaming is something I see a pattern of. And then YouTube long form creators, I've seen them just focus on YouTube long form or sometimes add short form as well, but not stream. So that's just a weird pattern I've seen often.
Right. So you think that you should be a little bit more consistent and try to hit everything instead of just focusing on one.
Yeah, without burning yourself out, though. Like, you know, like, you can't, like, if you can't stream because you're doing YouTube long form, like, you could substitute that out and then focus. I think short form's so important, though. It's an easy way to grow and monetize, and like, there's no reason you shouldn't be in short form. But I think long form or stream, if you could do both, amazing. But I understand that like, people get burnt out doing everything, so that's the beauty of building a team as well.
So is there any kind of social media metrics or notoriety, like, kind of when do you know it's time to, you know, maybe look at a team like you or just work with brands? Like,
focus on your shelf. Once you start making your own money, then you could start making other people money, I think, is like a kind of approach. So, like, you got to focus on making your own money. Don't, like, you know, focus on yourself, growing content, everything. And then once you're at a level where, like, you're making money now, odds are you could help make other people money because you're getting paid off the views. Why wouldn't companies pay you for those views, right? And that's where you start to bring them in. But, like, you'll know once, after you start making yourself, you know, enough money, you could start making others. I feel like, okay, it's just kind of the effect. Like,
once the platforms start rewarding you, you know that you're kind of on the right track for this.
Yeah.
So tell us a little about some of the brands and sponsors that you work for. You know, how do you kind of determine what companies and what are some of the past work?
Yeah. So we've been working with a ton of brands. We did a campaign, you know, at the end of last year with like Spotify and Doja Cat. We have another one of Spotify and a few other artists like pending. We worked with Ally Bank last year. We signed our second deal with them this year. We signed a year deal with like Logitech with the focus and promotion of Streamlabs. We've signed with Nanoleaf for multiple years in a row. Nanoleaf's Nanoleaf, Logitech, Streamlabs, that combo, and Paradox are our main title sponsors, this PC company over here. And then, like, brand the brands we work with a ton day in and day out, like, every single month. Paradox Customs, we've been working with for now 2 years. Just this year, we're only 60 days in, we sold over just about 100,000 worth of PCs. In the last 12 months, we've done about $500,000 worth of PCs in sales. So no question we could move products. I mean, we did a controller deal in December. We did over six figures in sales for a company with only two videos posted. So there's no question we can move products. We have a massive reach. It's really a lot of brands want to work with us now. We've worked with like some of the most, you know, like 7-Eleven, you know, big brands in the space where it's like, I wouldn't think I'd be working with them. I use their products on a daily or whatever. And now here we are working with them. So it's been a journey, but I mean, odds are if you name a brand, someone on our team, someone has been involved with working with them.
Amazing. So what's kind of shift though? So what are some, you know, pitfalls to look out for when running an esports org? You know, what advice do you have for someone maybe trying to start their own team?
It's a lot of work, hard work and dedication, as cringe as that might sound to people, like, oh, I'm just saying that. Like, no, it's literally those two things. Hard work, like 12, 15, 18 hours a day. Like, you got to show up. You got to be available. Like, show up. And then dedication is, I've been doing this for 5 years. I didn't see money. I didn't pay myself salary. Like, I didn't touch a dime, like, the first couple of years, right? Like, there's that aspect. Like, the first 3 years, we were not doing what we've done. Like, last year, single-handedly, did better than all of those years combined. The first 3 years, right? Or this year, like, our exponential growth, like, it's projected to even pass that. So, like, hard work and dedication, really buying in on yourself. There's times where I wanted to quit. There's been, you know, after working 30 months and not being paid and still spending, you know, believing in your vision, it gets tiring for sure. But no one likes to talk about those times. So we talk about the now.
Talk about the good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So just believing in yourself and being passionate. Those things add up.
Right. I think that's great advice, everyone out there. It's like, this isn't easy. And there's, you know, these are 7 day a week, you know, from when you wake up to when you go to sleep kind of jobs. And, you know, that's what a lot of the entertainment, especially from the very startup or even just all of them is, you know, like I know myself from, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I'm reading news, reading emails, seeing what's what, catching up to when I go to sleep. And, you know, Monday and Sunday, there's not that much of a difference for me at this point. And that's not how everyone is. And I think, as you know, you see the results, right? You're like, you're saying you're working for 3 years without making any money. Like, yeah. That's tough for most people.
Yeah, I was in a blessed spot. Thankfully, like, my parents were paying for college and everything. So I was living home. I was 19 when I started it, like 20. I transferred. I originally actually went to school in Florida for my first year and a half, then transferred my last 3 years. I was in New York City. But I was in a spot where I was able to take those risks, thankfully. But, you know, it's not fun. It's like a vision. Like, my parents were like, my mom would be like, yo, like, go to sleep. It's like 12, whatever. And I'd be like, I'm working on this. Like, and she's like, no, like, you're gaming. Cause like, she'd want me to make sure I get my 8 hours of sleep or whatever. Cause like, I'd wake up at 7 to go commute. And like, there's not enough time in the day really to do everything. And when I say 12, it was probably more like 2-3 a.m. Let's be real. But yeah, no, those days, they're tiring, but, you know, also one thing I do, you said you don't separate Sunday and Monday or whatever, the weekend. That's how it was for a long time. Now, like, my mental health, my everything is like really good. Like, I separated all of that. So Saturday, Sunday, I still work, but the biggest difference is I don't schedule meetings on Saturday, Sunday. So Monday through Friday, I have to be glued here because I have a call this hour. I have a call this next half hour. I have calls nonstop, you know, 12, 15 calls, whatever a day. And then you have like internal work. Like, I had this whole desk was filled with paperwork this morning. Like, and then like I have, you know, Excel sheets and data and payouts and like just there's so many things I have to do. But I started separating Saturday, Sunday of like, I still work and because I enjoy it. I'm passionate, but I won't schedule a meeting. And that's the difference. If I don't have a meeting on Saturday, I could sit down, I could do an hour or two of work, and I don't have to be on anyone's time frame. I'm on my schedule. So that helps me separate those weekends, Saturday, Sunday, where I still work, but whatever I want to, and I don't have to meet with anyone. Monday through Friday, I'm meeting all day. So like, I don't want to meet anyone on the weekends.
Okay. See, exactly. You made your lines. It's like, okay, like, I'm going to work, but I'm not going to take calls. We're not going to really be in that kind of engagement.
Yeah, it's like internal work, or like it might be external work for brands, but I'm not talking to them, at least. On, you know, so that's what I separated.
I feel that. So what advice do you have for talent that are looking to kind of, you know, just join an esports organization and, you know, kind of really elevate what they're doing?
Say that again. What talent? So
what advice do you have for, you know, talent that are really trying to look to get signed to an organization and really kind of elevate, you know, to that next level?
What am I looking for? Or what should they be looking
anyone,
for? Sorry.
Like what you guys looking for? Just, you know, what people out there that are looking to kind of get this professional, you know, affiliation and work with teams and orgs and brands and such.
So what we look for kind of goes back to those 4 points I named before, like with potential, growth, consistency, you know, making sure they have a community viewership, making sure they are in ideally we like multiple platforms. So if you have 1 million, 2 million on TikTok, that's great. But like, we want to see you use like being able to build a community with it. Are they anywhere else? Are you posting anywhere else? That's an important thing thus. So I think on the opposite end, as a creator who wants to join a team, these are things you should think of, like building that community. You know, numbers aren't everything. Having potential, the personality is important. You know, seeing, like I could see someone that's doing like the numbers below where they should be, but if I see the potential, like I could go to like, for example, I had that lunch in the city. Wasn't with a creator joining Zen. Literally was just with a creator who wanted to join Zen. I just did it to help him out. Pointed out everything. He went from averaging 20K, 50K, 80K, like up and down all these views to literally like 300, 400K plus only. So it's understanding, oh, I have the potential, but I'm forcing content, or I'm doing filler posts, which people think is important. Like, no, just skip and post quality.
I think that's great advice for everyone, is that, you know, you got to, you know, work on multiple platforms and work on your quality over quantity. And that, yeah, if you're releasing a video every day, it potentially devalues each video. So it's like, oh, well, he's going to post another one tomorrow anyway, right? Like, I don't necessarily need to watch this one because there's going to be another one tomorrow and the day after and the day after. And, you know, unless they're all really different, it, you know, your feed starts to just look like a lot of the same things.
Or with like nowadays, even it's like might not be your following. They might not know you're posting the next day. It might be their first video. So you want a good first impression. You're like, they watch this video. They're like, oh, boring, skip. But if you post a banger, they might be like, oh, that was really good. Let me go to this page. And now they're watching more videos and now you got to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
and then also you're spending less and making more. So like I had a guy who was posting 30 days. He's a pays editor every single day. He's to produce content. It's time, it's cost, it's all this. Now he's doing only 10 videos a month, say, so he's posting every 3 days. He's spending less and he's making more because the views are actually making him more money on the socials. So he's spending less and making more. So his margins are, he's like, I was running at like a break even for a long time. He's like, this is like actually profitable now. I was like, yeah. Like, and now he's getting brand deals at a higher rate because if his average, instead of being 30, 20, 50, 80 and all over the place,
he's a
consistent 200, 300K. So brands pay higher. So literally he's less cost, makes more money. Brands are paying more. I mean, like he just slow down sometimes.
Right. And people don't always realize that. And that's why, you know, having people like you come on here and kind of drop some wisdom is amazing. So, you know, what's your favorite part about working in the esports and gaming space?
Meeting new people and helping people succeed. I get messages all the time like, dude, you changed my life. You helped me this. And I think that's the biggest thing of what made Zen is like, I love seeing people win. Like I didn't pay myself for 3 years when other people were getting paid and stuff. Cause I was focused on growing this brand and the vision. And like, I love helping people. Like I had a guy yesterday who's on my management team and he's like, has an Excel exam. And he's like, I'm just going to bomb it. Like, it's fine. Like I'm screwed. I'm like, dude, like, why don't you ask me? I'm like, I know Excel perfectly. I'll teach you everything in a night. Like, he's like, I don't know. Like the test is in like, tomorrow, blah, 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 whatever. I'm like, yo, help me. Like, let me help you. Like, it's like, I don't mind. Like, I like helping people. I like helping people win. And then like, I told him like, if I were you, this is what I would do. He basically drafts up an email, tells the teacher. And like, I was like, it's important to be honest too. I'm a big believer in that. So instead of him making an excuse saying I'm sick or any of that, he's like, yo, I'm being honest. I'm just like, need help. The teacher's like, I'll work with you. Like, I'll give you a second chance. Just because he was honest, he emailed, like I kind of guided him. So I like just that alone. He was like, yo, thank you so much. You got me more time. I'm like, now let me teach you this too. But like, that has nothing to do with Zen even. And that's just an example from yesterday. But like, this happens all the time. Like, I love seeing like people win, people succeed. I love the, you know, just environment that we're in.
Amazing. Well, that's definitely nice. It's always nice helping people. It definitely has that nice, good feeling. So, you know, what's the future for Zen? You know, where are you going from here? What are some of your plans?
We're not going anywhere anytime soon. Goal is to keep scaling. I think this is this industry is obviously a multi-billion-dollar industry. You see, teams. The market last year wasn't the best, but we separated. You know, with esports versus gaming, the separation, I think companies are learning, and we focus more on the gaming side, you could say, than esports, even though we do have some esports amazing achievements. I think people are understanding that the market is still only scaling beyond, you know, some bad things in the space doesn't mean everything is bad. And it was the most green year we've ever seen. Like, there was definitely no red in our market. We'll keep it. And it's just scaling, growing, keep doing your thing, just seeing everyone win. Before we raise some capital, we'll raise some capital. You'll see us scale at a higher level and so on, and building this team. The journey's looking definitely promising, and I'm here for it.
Amazing. Well, it definitely sounds like you got a lot of great stuff going there, and I think that you guys got a nice formula. So try to end each episode with my three questions. So what's your favorite game to watch?
Video game or sports game?
But video game. We're the video game show, baby.
Okay, because I game like I both like game like I watch. Okay, I play like Fortnite and Rocket League and like Fall Guys every night. So like it would have to be like one of the three games I'm watching that I understand. Like COD, I understand, but like I'm not into it like I used to be as much. Probably Fortnite to watch, or actually Rocket League. Rocket League gets entertaining, and people don't realize. It's intense. Like, you don't even need to know about it. You know, simple soccer, you know, the ball goes in the goal. Like, I like Rocket League. That's good.
What about your favorite game to play?
Play is also probably Rocket League right now. I'm getting pretty good at it. I play it every night for the last like year or two. That's my nightly thing before I go to bed. Fortnite also, I've been playing since it came out. That's like kind of why we started in Fortnite. So I'm pretty decent at that game. And then Fall Guys, I'm really good at. I don't know why. Like, weird. It's like a game that you shouldn't be good at. Like, my friends,
I don't know. How are people good at that game?
I don't know, but I like place first all the time. I'm like consistent with my friends. Like, they rely on me. Like, if my squad dies, like, I'll be the guy to clutch up. Like, I'm weirdly good at it. So if there's any Fall Guy competitions, by the way, I'm looking for invites.
Okay, well, we'll have to sign you to the org to be their Fall Guy pro. Yeah. And who's your favorite video game character?
I honestly don't have one. Wow, I really don't have one, I don't think. Because, like, I guess you could call me weird for this, but I never played my whole life the story. I had no way.
Characters, no Pokemon, none of that.
No, so I don't play story game modes at all. I don't even play solo player games. Like, Rocket League is the only game I could play alone lightly. But I'm, like, so social, and I think the aspect of me gaming is, like, it's a fun hobby, but I like to be social with it. So I only game if I have someone to game with. So I don't play any story modes ever, so I've never... Like, I don't know the characters. Like,
Mario or Zelda.
Like, I played that. Like, I can name, like, Mario, Luigi, like, all of those. Like, I played all those Super Smash Bros, whatever. But, like, I don't know. I guess you would say, like, Mario. I don't really have a favorite, like.
Awesome. Well, I get it, man. I mean, it's definitely more fun to game with people than alone. So I'm with you on that. But, I mean, this was great. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell everybody where they can connect with you and learn about what you guys are doing with the org.
Yeah, so my socials are ZenLaz, XEN_LAZ. It's on everything, like Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, whatever, Twitch, but I'm mostly on Twitter. And then ZenGGS, so XENGGS is the org socials on everything. Besides Instagram, it's like Zen.GG, but everything else is ZenGGS. You could catch us. Our TikTok's been doing pretty damn well, so you might have seen our content. It's right now it's like doing a couple hundred thousand views a video on average, I feel like. But yeah, that's the team and that's the socials. Thank you so much for having me, Justin. And
yeah, it was my pleasure. Yeah. Everyone make sure to go give them a follow and check what the team is doing. They're definitely got some really great stuff up there. And make sure to follow me on Twitter, Justin JESQ, and check Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube for all our past episodes. We'll be right back.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.